Hi, I'm Kim Mosman, and this is the Whole Woman Podcast, where we talk about anything and everything that you would share with a girlfriend. I am a nutritionist, a life coach, and the author of Reflections of Joy. And I am super excited today because we're going to talk about Rachel's favorite subject, moving your body and the power of movement. Rachel?
Thank you so much, my lovely co-host. I'm Rachel Lavin, personal trainer, health coach, and author of The Donut Diaries. And Kim is not exaggerating. I love this topic. I could talk about it all day, every day. So let's just get going.
All right, so I'm going to just start with the elephant in the room, right? Why do we have to move?
That is a very beautiful elephant, which definitely needs to be addressed. And I'm going to say something real simple, and your mind is going to be blown. Our bodies were created to move. That's why we have arms and legs and feet and hands. Our bodies were created to move. They were not created to sit. So let's just start with that.
So what if I've never exercised in my life? What if I'm one of those fantasy sort of people that was created with a naturally healthy, naturally trim body, and I have a desk job. So I've never exercised, and now I'm in my middle years, and my body's betraying me. How do I begin?
That is a great question, and I think it happens all the time. I think that if we stop associating movement with the size of our body and look at it more as a gift that we've been given, and it should be something that we find joyful. And being in this industry for over 25 years, I've realized that not everybody likes to go to the gym and lift weights. Not everybody likes to take a class and Zumba around. Not everybody wants to go on hikes. So that is the beauty of our bodies. You can find something that not only is good for you, but brings you joy. And when someone like you, who is brand new to exercise or has never done it before, I just invite you to try a handful of things. What sounds fun? Does swimming sound fun? Does a tango class sound fun? Does walking with a girlfriend, like, give them suggestions, because again, it's just not something that comes to mind easily, and have them try it. Like, give them homework. Like, okay, you have this week before you come back to me. Let's say they're a new personal training client. Can you try two of those five things and let me know how you feel? Pay attention to what your body says. Is it a hard no the minute you're done with it? Like, I never want to do that again. Or, yeah, that was fun. I'd do it again. Because all those experiences and emotions and feelings will help you decide what is good for your body long term.
So, but walking with a girlfriend isn't really exercise, right, Rachel?
Oh, look at you playing the advocate. Yes, ma'am. Moving your body is cumulative. And I tell people that all the time. I only have 15 minutes to work out. Great. That's 15 minutes. Do it. Because some days you're going to have 30 minutes and some days you're going to have an hour. And so if you've now exercised for an hour and 45 minutes that week, that's still an hour and 45 minutes of movement that you got in, even with a desk job. Like, I am not one of those people like, no excuses. I just don't work that way. I don't train my clients that. I just don't, that's not my thing. But if you're going to repeat the same story to yourself over and over again, that is your truth and nothing is going to change. So if you tell me I don't have time, well, that's, you believe that. So if that's something you believe and you're not open to trying something new, then I'm not 100% sure that I'm the right trainer for you.
That leads right into a question that kind of parallels with my experience. When I was getting my nutrition certification, one of the things that really resonated with me was the whole idea of crowding out, not going from black to white or from off to on or whatever it was. You don't have to like switch right to left. I love, and I wrote about it extensively in my book, Reflections of Joy, about crowding out. So if I'm that woman who doesn't have time, and you just said if you have 15 minutes, if you have 30 minutes, if you have whatever. So if I only can find 10 minutes or 15 minutes in my day to exercise, what are some things you would suggest that I could do? Because I've got to go back to work, so I can't have sweaty hair. I can't let my makeup run all over the place or whatever. Can we just like 15 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour? What can I do in those time spans if I'm just beginning exercise?
Absolutely. You can sit there at your desk and you can, squat. You can do a leg lift. You can do some crunches in your chair. You can walk around the office to the bathroom briskly. You can do push-ups on your desk or on the wall by your, if you have your own office, do some push-ups against the wall. Close your office door, do a wall squat, hold it for 30 seconds, do that 3 times. That'll add up to 10 minutes real quick. So there is nothing that you can't do in 10 minutes, in 15 minutes. But even me, and I'm going to be super honest with you, there are times where I look at that clock knowing I have 1 hour before I have to do whatever it is I have to do for the day. Is there a conversation that goes on in my head like, oh, I don't want to do this? Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm human too, but I have had the conversation with myself. It's like, even those 15 minutes are going to get my blood moving. I'm going to feel better. I'm not going to feel so tight by the end of the day. It's worth it. It's worth it to go on a quick walk or do, a quick interval on the treadmill. It's worth it for me. And that's the conversation that I have with myself now.
So, what are the benefits of exercise beyond those that you mentioned before? So, when we're young, I feel like we either exercise because we're on a team, right? And we're trying to like compete or do something with a group or intentional sports. But I feel like as we get older and we're no longer involved in sports or in dance or whatever the thing may be, that exercise kind of turns into that punishment or that earning or I've got to lose the weight or whatever. What are the benefits above and beyond just like weight loss and I don't know, great calves or great biceps or whatever the case may be?
And all those things, but those are your goals, those are totally fine. But I would love it if people would stop associating exercise with weight loss. Now, we have been taught our whole life that those two go hand in hand. You cannot have one without the other, right? That's what we've been taught.
Right.
And so people's intention for exercise is always to lose weight. I mean, that's just the way it is. I'm hoping to, as I engage with more people and you hear my voice more, and other trainers are also on this longevity and feeling good about your body and wholeness as opposed to smallness. I think that I believe, and I like to teach other people that moving your body is a gift, right? There are so many things in this life that are a gift, and being able to exercise is one of them. So please stop looking at it as punishment. You're just not doing the right exercise for your body or for your personality. If you feel like you have to force yourself to get up and go do a CrossFit class or do your strength training workout and you hate every minute of it, it's time to reevaluate what do you like to do? What does sound fun? What does feel good? Hiking in the mountains is strenuous and it's good for your muscles and it's good for your bones. If you're an outdoor person, go paddleboarding, go hiking, go snow skiing, go do those things that will make you happy. I will add one tiny little caveat though. It has been proven over and over again that strength training is good for your bones and your muscle density and your all your body as we age. I happen to love it. I happen to go into that gym with a big old smile on my face and go and do my strength training because I love it. It makes me feel good. It makes me feel strong, which I want to carry into my 60s, 70s, and 80s. So that's why I choose strength training. But I will always try a dance class or going on a walk. We have a beautiful swamp rabbit trail here in Greenville, and I love to go on a walk once in a while. But yeah, I love to strength train.
Gotcha. So we've talked a little bit about longevity, which is really what you're saying, like existing in a good body, right? In a capable body through your 60s, 70s, 80s, and maybe beyond. As someone who has always been like, I always did very busy, active exercise, right? Kickboxing when I ran the gym and weight training. And now I walk. But I've added stretching, intentional stretching. And like I have some arthritis in my hands, so I can't participate in yoga, though I would love to. But I've started working like some different Pilates movements and things into my daily activities. Can you share a little bit about the things that we should add as we get older, or the fo how the focus changes as we get older?
Absolutely. I think that's interesting that you bring up stretching, and I can't believe that I didn't bring it up too, because I'm such an advocate for stretching, and I do my best to tell everyone they need to stretch. And a lot of times, when you're going through life in this chronic pain, my back hurts, my feet hurt, my whatever hurts. It's a culmination of you have just gotten tighter and tighter and tighter. And instead of just going and thinking, oh, I need knee replacement, let's try a stretching routine for 6 weeks and see what happens. Because a lot of times, especially those of us who sit at a desk all day, you're just literally atrophying your muscles. And they need to be elongated. They need to be stretched. They need to give blood flow and oxygen. They need to be told thank you for everything that you do for me. So yeah, that is a hard stop for me. At the 10 minutes I leave with for every session, whether it's virtual or in person, we're stretching.
That's awesome.
And yeah, it's just I am trying to get that into my clients. You know, it's just a part of my life. It's something I do, and I feel better for it. So thank you for bringing that up, because stretching is, especially as we get older, so important. I when my clients who especially are a little older, and they argue with me, well, it hurts. Yeah, it's gonna hurt at first because you never do it. But for them to kind of witness the results, and they feel better, and oh, I'm not walking up the stairs one at a time anymore. I'm not limping anymore. I wake up out of bed and my back doesn't hurt. I love that. I love those stories, because stretching is another gift that we should give ourselves at least a few times a week. I try to stretch honestly every night before I go to bed, just because I sleep better, I feel better, and I want my muscles to stay pliable and I want them to stay comfortable and I don't want to get tight. I'll share a quick story with you, and this is why I value stretching beyond anything. A lot of people get piriformis syndrome, which mirrors sciatica. And I have never had a back injury. I've never had back problems, nothing, nothing, nothing my whole life. One day I literally got out of bed and it was like a shooting pain went up my leg into my butt and up my back. And I was like, what the hell? And I lived with it for a while. I was like, what is this? And finally it got to the point where I could not put pressure on my foot and I was limping. And I went to a friend who was also a personal trainer, and he also was a dancer and kind of was just more in tune with his body. He's like, girl, you need to stretch. And he showed me the number four stretch, which a lot of people also too call pigeon. That stretch was a game changer. I did it every single day, coupled with some other stretches, and that pain has never come back to that extent. Now, if I've let myself get a little bit of tight and I start to feel it, I'm like, no, no, stretch, and I stretch, once or twice a day until it goes away. Because sometimes, if we do have something that traumatic happen to our body, we might be prone to it happening again. So I just have to stay on top of those muscles because that was painful. And living in New York City, where I had to like walk everywhere, climb stairs, I mean, it got to the point where I would like get to the top of the subway stairs and be in tears because it hurt so bad. And if I, and luckily I know now that stretching those muscles that get tight and overused, because that's what tightness is, an overuse, yeah, it saved me. So
And that's the other thing. I talk a lot about how I feel like you're like my sister from another mister, right? But as I was reading your book last week and just really going through, I had read it once before, but I didn't sink on this piriformis issue because when I was running the gym, I experienced the same thing. It's like this incredible pain. And the only way to alleviate it in the moment was like sitting on a tennis ball, right? Because we were traveling all over the country, watching our either visiting our one son or watching another one play football. And it's like I got to the point where I was dreading. I couldn't walk, I couldn't ride in a car, I couldn't do anything. And it was through stretching and massage. And my IT bands were like tight as a drum. And, through that work, that good stretching work, I too was able to like get it to go away, hopefully, knock on wood, forever. And because there's nothing worse than your body, just like there's no good reason. It just hurts, right? And so yeah, I appreciate the story. And knowing that someone else knows exactly what I went through, that was awful.
Was, but that also leads us to another thing that we wanted to talk about today, which was, I'm totally blanking. Can you help me?
Paying attention to the way your body feels.
Yes. Yeah. And to be in tune with your body and understanding that those pains is your body crying out for help. It's like, please address this. Please help me. That's where I think so many people maybe don't put two and two together. So let's help them do that today. And just a friendly, gentle reminder that pain, discomfort is your body asking for help big time. And I'm sure you've had some experiences with that when you owned your gym, right? With other people, with your clients.
Well, so many people try to fight through it. And, I mean, quite honestly, if you have a great lift day or you've just gone in and you've done something new, you're going to feel sore. And that's not what you and I are talking about. This is not that burn when you sit up or you stand up off the toilet or, because you had like a great leg day, and it's not that terrible ache when you go to reach for a can out of the cupboard after, a tricep day. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about like pain that is not uniform, not explained, not normal, right? I mean, like if your knee is killing you when you're exercising, there's a reason. Now, it doesn't mean surgery, it doesn't mean medication it all the time. Sometimes maybe you hurt it. But sometimes it's as simple as identifying where it hurts, talking to someone like a personal trainer or a massage therapist or a chiropractor. If you do that, there sometimes you've just got a tight muscle. Sometimes you just turned wrong, right? We're getting older. Sometimes you just stand up and something gets tweaked. And when you bring that up, something I want to just glaze on really quickly is we have muscles everywhere, right? From the tip of our head to our toes. And one of the things that really plagues women of our age is momentary incontinence, right? And I know that like we're in our second episode ever, and I'm going to bring up
Do it.
something like incontinence, but women, if you work on your core, if you strength train, if you work on your balance, if you stretch your muscles, you can alleviate some of those symptoms as well. And the thing that really triggered this for me is when you were talking about a lot of times it's just a tight muscle, right? Inflammation, tight, overused, abused, like that's incontinence issue as well. Sometimes you need to stretch things out, and there are people exercises, and that sounded really weird. but there are some exercises you can do too to lengthen and stretch out your pelvic floor that does don't include other people or apparatus or anything, just simple breathing and muscle tensing. And so I think it's so important for us to investigate holistic ways to recover from some of our aches and pains and
For
problems.
sure, 100%. I think it's also too, it's interesting because if something like that happens, right? My first reaction is to get upset. Oh my God, what's wrong with me? And, but then it's like, okay, let's self-soothe a little bit. Let's talk myself off the ledge. Let's have a conversation with somebody that, could shed some light or read something that can, give me some information. But like you said, just by me, let me figure this out. Let me take care of myself. Like I tell myself that all the time if I get a new ache, a new pain, or something happens to my body, because it's like learning how to help myself has really increased my, confidence that I can move well through getting older, right? I don't have to succumb to an age because that's what we've been taught. And I do appreciate that about our bodies, that sometimes it's not a big deal and sometimes it is, and that's when you get professional help. But sometimes it is, like you said, learning how to ground yourself, lie on the floor, feel your muscles, contract your muscles. Know what that feels like for different parts of your body. And I always tell women who come to me, okay, I have pain here, here, and here. I can never squat. And so my first thing, and is the most gentle, kind way I can say it, is, do you get on the toilet by yourself? Yes. Great. That's a squat. So if you want to continue to get on and off the toilet by yourself, you can squat. And just by me teaching them better form, and women, we just want to rush that exercise, right? We just want to do it and get out of there. So sometimes we've got to slow down, go through the movement, feel the movement, and understand that squats are one of the best full body exercises. I know a lot of people say they're for your legs, which of course they are, but they're for your pelvic floor, they're for your low back, they're for your core, they're for balance and stability. So the more you squat, and there's many versions of squat, and they don't have to be heavy, heavy, heavy. I squat with a 15-pound dumbbell, thank you very much. So
Well, body weight. Body weight's amazing, right? Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's awesome.
So I appreciate you bringing that up, because that's a thing. It's a thing too with menopause. I'm like, why am I peeing myself? Right? I mean, it's a weird, your body just goes through all these crazy things during menopause, which obviously we will do an episode on later. But yeah, your body is a gift. But it's also a pesky little thing that needs attention.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But never accept. It doesn't matter what the thing is that your body's going through, whether you're in menopause or not, nothing happens just because you're getting older, right? I mean, like never accept that as the only solution. Oh, honey, I'm sorry, you're getting older. Well, too bad. I want the answer. I want to fix it, right? Because usually there's something out there that can make it better. I feel like
And
in the
something that you can do for yourself.
exactly. I mean, not a pill, not a potion, not a procedure, like something that you can do if you really want to set your mind to it and you want to get rid of these pesky problems, there's usually a way. It just sometimes takes time. Now, I'm going to jump on something that takes time. A lot of our listeners might want to lose a few pounds, and that's okay. A lot of our listeners might want to lose a lot of pounds, and that's okay. But just like we're talking about ailments in our body, sometimes taking time and being able to do things for longevity and for the long term, sometimes if you want to lose weight, that takes time as well. And so often people would join my gym specifically to lose weight. They would come into exercise just because we talked about food. Like in my gym, we had like a challenge gym. And so we talked about food, we talked about exercise, we talked about community. We put it all together and people would really have some dramatic weight losses. If they were having fun, if they were eating normally and fueling themselves and they were moving for the first time in forever, that could be a sustainable lifestyle. But for a lot of people, it was preparation for a wedding or I'm going to a class reunion or whatever. They wanted a quick fix. And so they would really restrict their food. They would really amp up their exercise and they would fit it in no matter what. Like it became this thing. And it almost seems like punishment, you know? I mean, like punishment for a life well lived, because now, well, look at me. I can't show anybody who what I really look like these people who haven't seen me in 15 years. How do you work with your clients who punish themselves? Either punish themselves for, you know, going out and having birthday cake and champagne last night, or punish themselves for 10 years worth of raising the kids and not making time for themselves, or punish themselves for whatever it may be. How do you help someone realize that lifelong exercise is, like you said, a privilege, right? But it can be pleasure. It you can move for pleasure, right?
I think that's a very valuable point. And, as I've been in this industry a long time, my thoughts on that have evolved. I used to be part of the problem. Someone would come to me, I need to lose weight in 6 weeks. All right, girl, let's do this. Let's starve and let's work out 18 times a day. Yes, let's do it. But
Okay.
FYI, right after the wedding and you put a piece of bread in your mouth, all the weight's going to come back, right? I mean, how do you have that conversation? Well, I just do now. And it's just like, hey, I get it. This is an important event in your life. If you're going to restrict, please do it with caution. But just know that this is not sustainable. And the minute that you put the thing that you're not going to eat for a month in your mouth, your body doesn't understand the difference of, hey, I'm trying to get fit for this wedding. You're starving me, so I'm going to do what I do best, and that's take care of you. So whatever calories are coming into me, I'm holding on to for dear life. Like, I don't think people quite understand that's what's happening when you're dieting. Your body is living in starvation mode, totally unaware of what the hell event you're going to. It just knows I'm not getting enough calories for what you're asking of me. So I'm going to hold on to every little thing. And so that's why weight loss is initial. It's, can be significant, but it always comes back, right? Has there ever been a woman or a man or a person who has gone on a crash diet, lost a bunch of weight, and at least some of it didn't come back? I would love to hear from them. And maybe that's an invitation because it's just not possible. It's not going to happen. So to have that conversation with someone now, it looks very different for me. I did it to myself for my whole adult life, and so I know that it's not going to end well. And I know what my body needs. It needs stability, it needs calories, and it needs me to love it. So I don't crash diet anymore. I don't restrict anymore. And the interesting thing is that once I came to peace with that. I never binged on anything again because I don't forbid myself from eating something. I literally just made baked a cake with a girlfriend, and even though I shared a lot of it, and I have a hubby who eats cake too, but out of that cake, I'm had five slices of it. Great, it was delicious. But I'm kind of done with cake now for a while
Right.
until the next time, you know. I didn't go, oh God, I shouldn't eat this. Oh my God, my pants aren't going to fit. I don't do that to myself anymore. It's just cake. You know?
Exactly. Exactly. You know, I know you're not going to be surprised by this, but one of the biggest classes, like I did group fitness, one of the biggest classes of the year was always the 5 a.m. class on Thanksgiving Day,
Of course.
because people wanted to burn it or earn that meal, right? And it just doesn't work like that. It just doesn't work like that. You
Yeah.
can't, nor should your poor brain have to think like that. I mean,
No.
a holiday, a birthday, just celebrating time with your girlfriend or with your whoever, meal time with your family. You should be thinking about spending time with them, not about counting calories. Now, you also it, once you get in touch with your body, once you like if you have a really great workout and you're starving, that makes sense, right? I mean, like if I don't know what I'm trying to say, Rachel. I just like I feel like our movement and our food or our hunger is very interrelated, right? If we allow ourselves to get back to normal, if we allow ourselves to be who we were when we were created, if you have a great workout and you get done and you're starving, you should eat something, right? Because your body needs that. Yeah. And
Well, how do you feel about this? This is the I'm blanking on the expression. It's not an expression, it's a visualization that I use all the time. Can you drive your car on empty? No.
No.
Your car needs gas slash full fuel to drive. Our bodies are literally the same thing. If you think of food as fuel for your body to do the things that you ask of it on a daily basis, and that includes thinking, could brain function, you need healthy fats, you need protein, you need carbs, you need calories
Right.
to function. And if you can start people, getting them to associate food, fuel, oh, my body needs this. Instead of calories are demons, food is the devil, I can't eat more than a piece of lettuce, and then you go expect to do some crazy CrossFit workout,
Right.
that does not compute. And I think a lot of times women, we get to that, and we've been taught this stupid word, plateauing. It's not plateauing. Your body isn't, it's not betraying you. It's saying to you, I don't have any more to give because you're not giving me enough. I don't have any more that I can negotiate with. And so when you stop losing weight, or I can't get that last 5 pounds off, well, maybe you're not meant to, because we all have a set point, whatever that is for you, which is different for everybody. And I think that's where body positivity gets convoluted, right? I think health at every size is possible. We all come in different shapes and sizes. I believe that with all my heart. But what has changed for me is the association that we have to just not moving our body, because I'm going to love my body at 400 pounds,
Right.
and the association with the kind of food that we put in our body.
Yep.
Well, a bag of Cheetos is food, right? Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It's yes, it has caloric value, but not much nutritional value. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think what has really evolved for me, even since writing my book, that yes, food is fuel, but don't we owe it to ourselves to fuel it with the best options, with the best whole foods, to exercise and move our bodies with something that's going to do our body good. So that's where I'm kind of changed my thinking and trying to implement that now.
Yeah. So a lot of times, there's always the new theory, all the tips and tricks, and I mean, like exercise in fasting state, or make sure you have carbs before you exercise, or make sure you do this, right? All these theories and everything. What do you tell your clients?
I tell them to eat.
I had a very wise instructor one time say to me, actually, the woman who worked a mentor during my time when I was getting my personal training license, and she just said, a car doesn't run on an empty tank, just like you said, and you can't trick your body. Your body is meant to function in a certain way. Like when we came out of the womb, if everything was healthy, genetically speaking, all the things, your body works a certain way. Your body will continue to work that way throughout life until you interfere with it and offer it something it doesn't want, right? It will still use the crap you put in it as fuel, or the lack you put in it. But gosh, don't you, I don't know. I always felt my workouts were better if I was properly fed.
Agreed. I mean that the terrible myth, and this is, when we do talk about nutrition on our next show, we can dive into this more. But I will say this, that another horrible lie that's been fed to women is, if you work out on an empty stomach, you'll lose more weight or you'll lose weight faster. And that couldn't be further from the truth, especially if you're doing a strength training workout, like you just said, fuel that body and then think, I have to fuel it again because I use that energy. I use that fuel during my workout. And I don't know about you, but if I don't eat something substantial, meaning with some protein after a good workout, I feel weird. I feel like, like not nauseous is not the right word, but I feel like edgy. Like I need to eat something or else it's just not going to be good. And so I just don't even do that to myself anymore. It's like done working out. Something needs to go into my mouth. It's just, I've learned that about myself. I've learned that about my body. And most of the time, if you're not fueling your body properly, you will have adverse effects. It may not happen the first time. It may not happen the first five times, but you, again, your body is going to speak to you, however, whatever, how it's going to show up. But exercise does need that partner of refueling. So yes, I agree with you on that 100%. I think it's important for people to understand that.
So talk to us a little bit about rest and the importance of rest
My
when
favorite.
you are a body in motion, particularly a middle-aged body in motion.
I mean, it's going to keep coming back to listening to your body, right? There is something to be said for that feeling that sometimes people describe as, I'm just in a funk. I'm just feeling lethargic today, or I just don't want to do anything. That is a message from your body, like you've taxed me. I just need to sleep, or I need to sit in front of the TV and binge Netflix. Or I just need to do an hour of stretching. Sometimes I'll get down to the gym and I'll try and exercise. My body's like, no. And I listen to that because maybe doing an hour of stretching instead of my normal workout is going to be more beneficial in the long run. And when I was younger, I would just go, 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 and would pay the price. My skin was horrible. My attitude was horrible. I just was cranky all the time and angry all the time because I was not resting. And if I knew then what I know now, studying could have been a lot easier for me. Taking tests could have been a lot easier for me when I was in school because I would just push myself and push myself, not get enough sleep, still try to go out with my girlfriends and stay out on the weekends till 4 in the morning. And I wasn't doing as well in school as I probably could have been. But listen, life is a lesson. We learn all the time. And now I know that if something is really going on with me, that the signals that I've learned to listen to, I just say, listen, I'm going to reschedule this, or I'm not going to do this, or I'm not going to put myself in a position to tax it even more, which is going to take up, more time to recover from. I believe in sleep. I believe in water. I believe in really managing my stress. Again, I don't have kids, so I have that luxury of just kind of taking care of me and my husband. I don't have to worry about that, but that doesn't mean that moms can't find that time for themselves as well.
I love that. I love that. So we've talked about a lot of things today.
Yeah.
Is there anything, first off, is there anything we've missed? Anything you want to touch on?
The only thing is, I'd love to hear, your thoughts on moving your body a little bit. We didn't touch on that.
Well, you're the expert. I'll talk a lot. I'll talk a lot when it comes to food. No, I'm kidding. What I've noticed about myself is my whole life falls into place better when I move. Yes, when I was younger, I kickboxed 3 days a week and I lifted weights 3 days a week and I exercised on vacation and I exercised all the time, all the time. And it was almost like I felt guilty if I missed a day. And now that I've gotten older, I don't exercise every day. And sometimes I have something planned. And if I wake up and like right now, I could have a killer, a great weightlifting workout planned. But I woke up this morning in this horrible fog of allergies with a headache and everything. And I know if I go, I'm not going to be focused on it. I'm not going to get the workout that I want. And so I flip my days. I'm not stringent to a schedule anymore. If I move my body every day, I feel good about it. So today I took allergy medicine, put drops in my eyes, and I grabbed a handful of Kleenex and I went for a really great walk, instead of going to the gym. I think for me, exercise has evolved from something I have to do to something I get to do. That I like to do because, like you, I want to move into my 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. And I want to be able to move and I want to be able to crawl on the floor after my grandkids and I want to go to their graduations and I want to do the things, right? So yeah, it's exercise is different as I near 60 than it was before. But it's still present and it's still important. And so I'd like to wrap up by you offering us advice. The woman who doesn't exercise, she wants to, for whatever reason, whether it's weight or health or peace of mind, maybe her doctor told her she should. How does she begin? And once she begins, how does she progress? Where do we go from here?
Okay, that is a lovely question. And my first piece of information I'm going to pass on is be open. If you've been telling yourself a story about exercise, be open to letting that be different. That's going to be your first step. You're not going to go into it with a negative association. You're going to go into it with, like you said, I get to try this. I'm going to try this. This is going to be fun. So then you try a couple things, you find something that you like and that you know that you will stay consistent with. And it can be one or two things. It doesn't have to be one thing. It can be two things you like to do. Find time in your week for it. For women our age, I always recommend anywhere between 3 to 5 days of exercise, depending on your body, depending on your schedule, depending on a lot of things. 4 days is good. I do truly believe that because it also allows you to feel like you're still having a life. And I think that's so important to people. So here you are, you're open to trying it. You've tried it, you like it, you found something you like to do, you're sticking with it. You've realized you've been exercising now for 3 months. And if it is the goal of weight loss, you'd like to lose a little more, maybe you add on another day or you try some strength training. It's all about consistency, but it's also about a progression. We've all heard that expression, a maintenance exercise. If you're just maintaining your body that you're happy with and that you've been in all the things, that doesn't really include much effort. But if you want to get stronger, if you want to get, more stable and work on balance, you do have to challenge yourself. You have to hold that balance for 15 more seconds every 2 weeks, or hold that plank for 30 more seconds and work up to a minute. So I think the more that, and our bodies adapt very quickly. So if you are kind of open to challenging your body, there's really kind of no ceiling for how well and how much you can progress.
That's awesome. That's awesome. This has been great today. I can't wait to continue on having these discussions. I think I know that you believe like I do. If you eat good foods and you move your body with intention and for pleasure, and if you get rest and you drink water and you take time to quiet yourself so you're not constantly stressed, I know that you believe that you can live a whole life and a whole healthy, happy life. And so I'm really excited for our conversations to continue.
Me too.
Thank you. And we will be talking about food next time, right?
Absolutely, your favorite topic.
My favorite topic.
Well, thank you so much for listening and join us next time on the Whole Woman Podcast.
Bye.